So this two-dimensional barcode on my slide, or that link directly above it, would take you to all of the links that I'm going to talk about in this talk. You know, all the different projects we're discussing. You know, scan this with your phone, follow that link, or look on the Twitter feed that's on there as well. Anyway, I'm Cody Dunn. I work at the Computer Science Department at University of Maryland in the Human-Computer Interaction Lab, and I focus on information visualization. And my talk today is going to discuss a little bit of how visualization might be able to help publishers in getting their users more engaged, driving traffic to that long tail of articles people might not see because they're not cited as frequently, and how you guys can help people who are doing the science of science policy research by providing this data through APIs to our analysis tools. So that's going to be on the final slide as well. So I kind of like this picture. It shows this idea of this library where there's a couple areas that are really easily accessible because they're on the front page of the portals. You know, they're accessible because they're highly cited. But then you have this long tail going way down into the depths that of all this stuff that keeps on being published further and farther and farther that users can't access very quickly unless they know exactly what they're looking for. So what I'm going to talk about here is mostly network visualization. There's lots of different kinds of networks that publishers have available to them. There's citation networks between academic papers. There's co-citation networks of people who cite the same things. Co-authorship networks, authors that collaborate together. You know, there's term frequency, co-occurrence relationships. And you can also track the users on your websites and that are using your tools and see which users are using the different literature and find relationships between the literature based on that. The second thing I'm going to talk about in depth is a tool I've created called Action Science Explorer, which is a prototype to show you how statistics and visualization and reference management can all be integrated together. And then finally, I'll give you a couple of links for how to get started with visualization if you're interested in the quick and easy route to getting something working fast. A little bit about network theory. The general idea is that these social relationships, be they citations or co-authorship, things like that, create this structure that we can analyze to infer interesting things about the community. So we have ties between individuals or between papers or organizations, things like that. And all these ties create certain things that we're interested in finding. We want to see clusters of related work, clusters of people that work together. And we want to see who are the people or the institutions, the papers that are out on the periphery, who are in the core, and then who are the ones that bridge the different research communities. Who are the cross-disciplinary researchers? Some of the terminology I might be using tonight is nodes and edges, which are the entities and their relationships, be they papers or authors and however they're connected. Cohesive subgroups, also called cliques, clusters, communities, things like that. Those are the groups of organizations or peoples or papers that work together or relate together more frequently than they do with other groups. And then some of the key metrics dealing with these networks are various centrality measures, like degree or number of citations papers have received. Betweenness, which is a measure of how an individual or an organization bridges different research communities. And then, well, cohesion and density, which are more overall metrics for the network. So this is an overview of the tool I created. It looks wonderful on a giant 30-inch display or several monitors. And I'll give you a brief demo of some of the components of it here. So one of the main parts of Action Science Explorer is the reference manager component, which is visible up in the top left here. Here you have all the metadata for the papers that return from a user's search on the term dependency parsing, which is a small subfield of computational linguistics. And so all the results are presented here immediately. And we also have URL, DOI, and PDF links that take you directly to the publisher's landing pages for those articles. Right, so when the user finds something of interest, either in the table or in all of the other visualizations I'm going to be talking about, they can go directly to the publisher's website for that. Now, when you click on any of these individual articles, you are given an entry preview that gives you a reference format that you can just copy and paste immediately, as well as the abstract. And then if the user wrote any reviews for it, it's shown there as well. And then on the left side, the user can create manually or automatically assigned groups of the papers based on search queries or things that they just drag and drop themselves. Now and then when the user clicks on these various groups, they're floated to the top of the reference list so that they're shown immediately. And then once the user has a subset that they're interested in writing their paper about, they can start writing reviews about them after they read the PDFs, and then export them into whatever management or whatever editor software you're using, Microsoft Word, LaTeX. You can turn it into EndNote citations, things like that. Now, one cool thing that you might be able to do with this manually tagged information is improve your recommendation abilities for other users. If you have some sort of socialization component of your service, people can see how papers have been classified, find users with similar interests, and then read reviews on these things if you're willing to let users rate documents. Here's some of the exports that we support, you know, HTML, BibTeX, EndNote, Microsoft Office, all sorts of fun stuff there. Now, the next component I'm going to be talking about is the citation network visualization, which is one of the core parts of this tool. Here down in the bottom left, we have a node link diagram here representing the citation network for this subset of papers the user found with their search. They're currently colored by the number of citations each of those papers have received. And then off on the left, we have some overall statistics for the network, like the number of papers in it, the average density, number of edges, things like that. Now, you can rank these papers by their statistics, in this case, the number of citations they received, and select any set of the top cited papers or individual ones, and they're selected in the other views in the tool as well. So they're selected in the reference manager, in the node link diagram here in blue, and so on. Additionally, users can filter out what they deem the irrelevant papers based on the statistics that they choose. And we have the double-ended slider down there at the bottom, so the user can just remove from the visualizations all the papers below some certain threshold of number of citations. You can also pick other statistics that are calculated on the fly, between a centrality to find bridges between communities, or you can use the metadata for the papers, like the year that they were published. And in this case, by using the other end of the slider here, we can actually map the evolution of this topic. We see that there's this 1969 paper, then there's this group that appears here in the top left. You know, there's another group that starts in the middle. There's these papers that bridge them right there that are going back and forth. Those are the ones that showed up bridging those. And then there's this huge explosion in 2006, 2007, 2008 right here around this this right cluster, but nobody really cited that that left community much after that. Now, so rather than playing with that dial trying to see the interesting trends there, we might want to do it a little bit more algorithmically. We've implemented Newman's Fast Community Finding Heuristic, and that allows us to find groups of papers that tend to cite each other more frequently than they cite other groups. And you can play with the threshold there or use modularity to pick an appropriate cutoff. Here, the force-directed algorithm spreads the communities apart so that you can see things a little bit better. That's that original research cluster on the left that wasn't very highly cited by all the new papers. We have this large central component, which is pretty common when you have a data set this small being loaded. You can drag it off to the side, get an idea of what it looks like. And then there's this one up here, which is actually around a shared task at one conference, and it has all these weird bi-directional citations between the papers. Now, if you want to investigate these papers a little bit more closely, you can look at the citation context for them. These are the extracted citations from all the papers that cite them, so the actual sentences that include the citation. And so for any paper we select, we can scan through it and see what everybody else says about this. And it might not seem like it's too useful, but this is actually, there's a lot of good information in this context. It's been shown that there's information available in the citation context that you cannot find in the abstract or full text, especially if you're running summarization on these things. For example, you'll be able to see follow-up papers that you would not be able to find otherwise because they are they're either too recent or not heavily cited. You can get a general idea of what the paper is about. Now, for each of these citations in here, they're hyperlinks that allows us to click them and show them within the full text of the original citing paper. So you can get a little bit more information around a citation if it doesn't give you enough right there directly. Additionally, you can actually scan through this whole full text, even though it's not nicely formatted here, and click on the hyperlinks. So as you're reading the paper, you can immediately go click on a hyperlink and see in all the other visualizations what that cited paper is, what it represents, get its abstract, its full text, all of those wonderful things. So now when you click on a whole community of papers or an arbitrary selected group, that's a ton of citations to it, and it's hard to read through all of that, especially if you're just trying to write a survey article really quick. So what we use is a system that we developed at University of Maryland for multi-document summarization. It takes the citation context from all of those papers and creates a short summary based on that. The idea is you try to find the very important key things and make sure that none of the sentences repeat information in any of the other sentences, and try to give a brief summary of that selected group of papers. This allows you to say, okay, there's that interesting group over there. What are they about? There's another interesting group on the other side. What is it that they discuss that's different from that other group? And do some more comparison tasks. Now, these summaries, like I said before, the abstract summaries, the full text summaries, and the citation text summaries all contain varying different information. You know, and they're all actually quite useful. So showing those summaries side by side allows users to get several different views of that data set. And this is especially useful for people who are trying to get an overview of a field that they might not necessarily know a whole lot about, like NSF program managers moving into a new area, new grad students, things like that. These are tools that make it much easier to do science of science policy tasks and bibliometrics. So the next thing I'm going to talk about is standard charts. You know, we've all seen scatter plots, bar charts, and so on. But by integrating these with these tools, we're able to find interesting trends, outliers, and data problems that we might not have seen otherwise. So here we can look at a scatter plot comparing the number of citations papers have received within this data set versus the number of papers or citations that they've received overall in the entire database. Right, so we see those two in the top or in the left side that are, you know, relatively highly cited, but not within this data set. So those are kind of more cross-disciplinary interesting papers that somebody who's interested in a more general approach might want to read. But then we can see a regular, fairly linear trend comparing the citation patterns within and outside the data set. And then looking by year, we can see some other interesting things. There's these three very highly cited papers from a couple years back, and then there's this huge burst around 2006, 2007 of interesting papers. So now that I've given you the whirlwind tour of this tool, I'm going to talk a little bit about how you can get network visualization immediately for your data sets. We have this tool called NodeXcel that we've built. It's a template for Excel 2007 and 2010 that allows you to build these what we call spigots, which are data importers. It takes a person about half a day to build if you have an API for your data set. And we already have spigots for Twitter, YouTube, Flickr, your Outlook email, if you have it on your computer there. Pull it directly into the Excel workbook, visualize it using standard network visualization, network layout techniques, automatically find communities, look at the ego networks there on the left. This is kind of your first social network analysis tool. It takes very little effort to get started with it. Unfortunately, it doesn't scale to tens of thousands of things. You have to start with a search query, usually. There's some there's some flyers outside for NodeXcel and for the book that we have about it. Here's another example of a NodeXcel workbook. Here, we used an automatic clustering algorithm to find different related groups in Twitter, in this case. And then they're binned into components on this screen based on which cluster they're in. You know, sometimes, like before I showed you in Action Science Explorer, it's useful to have them all in the same space so you can see a little bit how they relate better. But if you know the divisions fairly clearly, it can be useful to spread them out and even get rid of some of the connecting links between them or aggregate them into edge bundles. Right? Here's a little overview of our spigot interface here. We have an import menu, so you can choose any of these data sets, your email, Twitter, YouTube. You can crawl websites and so on. And we're really hoping that some of you guys are interested and you're going to help us write a spigot for your databases so that you can immediately get citation networks. We can immediately get co-author networks for a search term right there. Here's the cover of the book that Ben Schneiderman, Derek Hansen, and Mark Smith on this team wrote. Give you a brief overview of how to get involved in this project. And then we have the Social Media Research Foundation, which is the nonprofit arm of the NodeXcel project. You know, it devoted to having open tools. NodeXcel is open source, and we have some other open source tools that we're working on as well, providing open data sets like Twitter dumps and things like that for people to use, and a publication database. Now, I'm going to touch on a couple more things that I've been working on at the HCL lab if we have time to go through them. This example here is a brief thing that I did when I was doing a bibliometric analysis for an NSF grant. This is a tree map, if you're familiar with that. It shows, in this case, the number of citations that match a certain criteria as the size of each of the nodes, each of the blocks here is either a paper or a patent. The green ones are the papers, the gray ones are the patents. And in this case, a user did a search for all papers matching the term hyperbolic tree, which is a way of visualizing trees. Right? And this particular hierarchy we're showing here is all of the citations from hyperbolic tree papers that matched the query to other papers that did not match the query. And so these three that I have a brick round up in the top left are papers that did not match the hyperbolic tree query, but were very highly cited by hyperbolic tree papers. And it turns out those three are, you know, the two original papers and the original patent for that before they had given it a name. Now, this helps you refine your querying a little bit. And if a user can see immediately, okay, these are some big things that maybe I should check out, they might be related, you know, it helps them with their analysis task. Here's another example from this paper down here of how you can see, you know, this computer science and applied mathematics community, this chemistry, material science and physics community, and then this bioinformatics community that kind of bridges the two a little bit, but is a little bit more on the chemical, the chemistry, material science, and physics side. And then here's another recent publication about these things, where you have this periphery community that has, you know, small cliques of related work, but is not connected to the core or component. As you can see, just like in the Action Science Explorer visualization I showed you, that central component is quite common with a very connected offshoot right off of it. That's really a pretty one. That's very hard to see on that projector. So we'll continue. And then another citation network visualization showing how journals are connected with each other. And this is a much larger data set here. And you can see very broadly on the left, we have all the aspects of computer science. You know, we have graphics, machine learning, natural language processing, all of those wonderful things. So every year, the Human-Computer Interaction Lab, where I work, has a symposium. This year it's May 25th and 26th. If you're interested in talking to us with us about these things, it's a great place to come and see the things we're working on and get involved. There's flyers for that as well outside. So as a brief overview, I talked about network analysis, our tool Action Science Explorer, and how to get started with visualization. And I think the key points I want to leave you with or the reasons why you should get involved with visualization is that, one, you have the data, nobody else does, so if somebody's going to do it, it's got to be you guys. Having these visualizations in your products, it keeps users engaged, right? They spend, like with Action Science Explorer, the entire workflow is right there in the product. You know, you do your exploration, you do your analysis, you collect your references in your reference manager there, and you go directly to your editing software where you're writing the document. If you can keep your users involved in that entire process on your website, you can collect a lot more information about it and keep them more engaged in the process, as well as improve recommendation systems for your other users. So if you're working with NSF on the bibliometrics or science of science policy, you know, having APIs and being able to get it into these kinds of tools lets the academics, you know, get very involved in the process. And additionally, like I was talking about with the long tail, finding those interesting papers that aren't necessarily the most highly cited or not even cited at all, finding those unusual outliers is going to drive traffic to a little bit to that long tail that you have available to you. And additionally, after the talk before about DataCite, you know, having a standard way, like with many eyes or things like that, of analyzing the data that's uploaded with these papers would allow you to verify the results, check to make sure that the way that they did their charts is accurate, and see if you can find additional insights in them. With that, I'd like to thank you for your attention.